Hello and welcome everyone to episode 63 of Nerds on the Rocks. Today we have a very special episode because the Comic Council is taking over, kind of. Well, not officially, just don't tell Earl because he may shelter us if he finds out. Yeah, joining me today are Eric.
Hello.
He's playing Gears of War, I think.
Kind of.
Awesome. Yeah.
I'm paying attention. Oh, yeah. That guy almost got me.
And also, for the first time, I think, on Nerds on the Rocks is Wesley joining us. So, hello, guys. How are you both? You both good, yeah?
Yes.
Feeling all right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Sober for once.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, so today we kind of have a last-minute change in topic. We decided we're going to talk about superhero teams, I guess.
Oh, I thought we were going with creative teams.
Oh, creative teams. Oh, I don't know.
That's
that. Oh.
Awesome. No, go for that.
Really?
All right, then. We'll go for creative teams. I'm going to have to kind of make this up as I go anyway. So, yeah, we're going to go for creative teams in comic books because usually in comics you get long runs on books where a writer and an artist work together quite a lot on, and then they'll maybe do several projects together. So we'll focus on that a bit.
All right.
So, Eric, since it was your idea.
Oh, it was. I thought it was your idea officially at first, and nobody wanted to
do it.
But
it was, yeah. But I was going to save it for another week. But
yeah, I can take it right off the top
of my
head.
I'll let you go first.
Mark Waid and Mike Waringo? How do you say his name? For Fantastic Four.
But you got it. You're close.
Yeah, that's a nice team up right there. Mm. It got me into Fantastic Four. I very much enjoyed the art, and the story from Mark Waid, as usual, is supreme. What else can be said? It's too bad that Mike passed away. You know, that guy was destined for great things. He had his own style, and I don't know anybody who didn't like it.
It's beautiful.
It was.
I really want to read that. I'm going to buy them. They've started releasing them in trade paperback, haven't they? The Ultimate Collections.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to buy them eventually when I get some money and plow through them all. Is that like Fantastic Four? So.
Yeah, man. Like, I didn't before, really. Like, when I was younger, I know Byrne did a nice run with She-Hulk and a bunch of other stuff, but I never really, really got into it until Mike and Mark.
Mm.
I guess that 99-cent issue helped.
Yeah, it did help.
I think
help
I vaguely
a lot.
Remember that coming out. Didn't he? They did the 500th issue as well, didn't they?
Yeah, that was around the big time. Reed was going to sacrifice himself to capture Doom. And, oh, what a story, man. Just the things that Doom, that Mark Waid brought out in Doom. That's always been there, really. Like the magic part.
Yeah, I liked his, I actually liked that magic. Because I actually own that run in a collection of, five trade paperbacks that I bought. Like, I bought it individually at a half price, and it was... And it's like that magic aspect was pretty always there with Doom, but Waid really pushed that magic aspect.
Yeah, and it worked, though. I thought, I don't know, he seemed to be winning.
It's a big part of his character now, isn't it?
Yeah,
really.
Kind of.
Oh, yeah, he's permanently there.
Mm-hmm.
Scientist and a magician, which is pretty awesome, actually, when you think about it.
He's like a warlock, that guy. This is where my respect for Doom comes from, was that run of those
Doom
guys.
Is awesome.
Yeah, just wow. Wow. I was scared. I've never been scared reading comics before. I was worried for the Fantastic Four.
Legitimately
Ben
worried.
Ben died, and oh. Yeah.
Was it Mark Waid who introduced Franklin Richards, or was he already there?
Because he was already there.
He was already there.
Who was it in? Who?
I think it was Byrne, wasn't Franklin? It?
It was Byrne.
Yeah.
Is he that old? Has he been in it that long? Because Byrne did it in the 80s, didn't he?
Secret War.
I think I got in one of my earliest memories of Fantastic Four is when Valeria is born, I think, because they have to get Doc Ock to help them. And I remember thinking, that was weird. Why would you need Doc Ock to help you? I could be remembering that.
I can't remember too much about why Doc Ock ended up getting summoned in that situation to get a...
But yeah, that's my pick. Mark Waid and Mike Waringo.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So, Wesley, I guess, being the only other one here.
I'll give you a personal one. This is definitely much more of a personal one than anything. When I was getting back in the comics, the thing that kind of drove me back was the Kurt Busiek, George Perez Avengers
Ooh.
Run.
Ooh, I got and those, some of them.
That was so cool. Such a pitch-perfect team. I mean, everything about it just was literally made me just go, oh, yeah, I'm back. And that brought me back. It totally brought me back into it. I mean, it's literally why I'm in the comics today in the way I am is because of that one little run that literally just hooked me. I mean, from because I used to be in Avengers when I was younger, and I really liked it, and I really always liked the concept. And so seeing how they handled that concept, I mean, everything felt big as they did it. Every issue they were doing together, from the smallest supervillain to the biggest supervillains, and it was always sort of like everything kind of felt big. And like
Ultron Unlimited,
Ultron Unlimited alone was the most brutal concept I've ever seen. One of the most interesting concept of Ultron that's kind of spoiled me for Ultron stories to this day.
Oh?
Yeah, because Ultron Unlimited was just so perfect. It was about the most perfect Ultron story you'd ever get out of them, and no one's been able to match it since, in my opinion, anyway. Annihilation comes close. Abnett Elaney's Annihilation comes really close.
Annihilation?
Yeah, but outside of that, and it was the Annihilation story that comes close for me Ultron-wise, but outside of that...
I only have, like, the first four issues, I think. Something happened, and I stopped buying for a little bit, I think was around that time. But yeah, good team-up. I remember there was being lots and lots of characters drawn into it.
Oh, like it was
George
insane.
Does so well.
Oh, God. Because yeah. JLA Avengers that Big they team. Did together as well.
I've only got the last issue of that, and it caught my eye because it was a picture of Superman holding Captain America's shield and Thor's hammer. I was like,
what? It's a really good image.
You're like, what the
heck? I read it, and I was like, oh, I really wish I had the first three. Damn it.
I own all four issues myself, and I also wish I had that giant absolute edition they did back in the day. That gargantuan edition with like that all like the big giant version of the story mixed in with like all the original story and like annotations for everything. And I went, I wish I owned that. That would have been so cool to have.
Would be nice.
But now it runs for like over $200 on eBay.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
Oh, so that was a good pick. I've read them. Those Avengers comics, they are really good with like the huge team and the detail George Pérez manages to get into the characters, where even though he's doing like 20 characters on a page, he still manages to...
And on time.
And on time.
You know, the man is a machine.
He broke a hand while penciling JLA Avengers number 4, for goodness sake. I mean, yeah, he busted up his hand because of it. He couldn't really... It got delayed by a little bit of time because of the fact that he busted his hand drawing the giant like cover spread he did for it. And I went, dang.
Wow.
That's dedication, dude.
Yeah, very much so.
So I guess my pick, it's two people you probably heard me talk about many a time before, and it is Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips.
I'm the only one who hasn't read it. I already know what you're talking about.
Oh, you know about? Have you never read Criminal?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you should try it. Do you know what? You should try the deluxe edition. Actually, this big thick white book, which has got the first four volumes in it, and it's got loads of extra stuff in the back as well. And it's really good because they're all kind of like set in the same universe, but they don't like follow on. It's kind of similar to Sin City. Where,
well, sticking, it sounds a little like Sin City.
Where characters kind of like bump into each other, but it's not like the Marvel Universe where you have to read this to get that and all that stuff.
Oh,
and,
I'm intrigued.
They've also did Incognito, which is slightly more in the superhero era, where it's this this villain who goes into witness protection to protection because he wronged bad people in the past, and then he's having a hard time dealing with like the normal 9-to-5 job because he finds it really hard and boring. So eventually he breaks out and starts using his powers again, but instead of being a supervillain, he decides to do good and he wants to be a hero. And Incognito is really good. I think I like Criminal more than Incognito, just because Criminal is more different compared to, because I read a lot of superhero comics, so Criminal isn't a superhero comic at all. It's just guys doing crime and shit, and it's very pulpy and noir, and it's great. Just very cool. The artwork and the writing to it, and the recent arc actually, Last of the Innocent, had them doing a kind of Archie spin on it with the flashbacks, which is really
which is
brilliant, because it's complete contrast into how Sean Phillips usually does his art, and it was just you flicking through a Sean Phillips comic and it's kind of like dark and almost muddy, but it still looks nice, and then you get to these bright Archie pages and you're just like, wow. And it really works as well, because it's like the flashback, because it's stunning flashback scenes like to his youth, so when he was younger, it's kind of like, yeah, everything was cheerful and better when he was younger compared to how he is now as an adult. So it does work. And I don't think they've done much Marvel stuff together, like in the Marvel universe, off the top of my head.
But, I can't even think of if I've ever even seen Sean Phillips art.
He did Marvel Zombies with Robert Kirkman, which I haven't read. I just missed it. Did. Yeah, I didn't read that.
I read Zombies. That wasn't bad. I like Marvel.
There's a Gotham. They did Gotham Noir for DC, which is kind of like.
Oh yeah, for sure. I read that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Sleeper.
I'm not sure if I class Gotham Noir as an original graphic novel or not, because of the length it is or something. But they recently reprinted it under the DC Comics Presents line. And it's got loads of ads in it, which kind of ruins it a bit, because it could just be a trade paperback. But the ads, and you know, the ads throughout, like you go to the middle and there's a huge flashpoint thing, and it's like, great, this is dated. But that's pretty good as well, with like how because Sean Phillips does Batman as like a more like a real shadow type figure, where you don't really see his facial and his body much. You just like see his black cape, and it looks really cool. And, you know, it's like pulp noir-y, like pretty much everything.
Brubaker sounds like I'm missing out.
It is good. It's just a one-off. And like Wesley said, they also did Sleeper, but I haven't actually read Sleeper yet. So.
Sleeper is amazing. I followed that book like a little addict when it first came out. I loved that title. It came out right around the period when Wildstorm was trying to play around more with their Eye of the Storm line, so... It was right around the time when Sleeper was coming out, Wildcats leading the Wildcats 3.0 was coming out, and all that. So I was just like such an Eye of the Storm nerd for a period of time. So I was buying most of that, and Sleeper just literally, I missed the first few issues, so I read the trade paperback, completely got hooked, and then started just buying the issues from there. That was one of the most interesting things I'd ever caught. And then I've been following Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips ever since. So.
I do want to check it out. It is I've tried to buy them off eBay actually, but I've had trouble. I'm not sure if they're still in print or not.
They did re-release them in a year one, year two, and season one, season two, graphic novel. I actually own both of them, and they're really cool. So yeah, they have them both collected. They're both in print, pretty easy to find. So yeah,
I have to get on that.
I will.
So. I guess it's back to you, Eric.
Okay, I will go with Peter David and Dale Kewan on The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
Big fan, big fan. What else can I say? I don't know. I enjoyed their run. I enjoyed everything Peter David did on the Hulk. I've heard people say they didn't, which surprises me. Peter David is what makes me like the Hulk in the first place. And Dale's pencils just really helped out a lot. And strange fact, the man, Dale, is from the same town I live in.
Really?
Yeah. Crazy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. His family lives here. We do work for them at the carpet store I work at.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, that guy's related. These people are related to the greatest Hulk artist ever, blah, blah. Everybody's like, you're a freak, man. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Man, the guy can draw. Like,
I thought he was a writer.
Dale Kewan? No.
Oh, sorry. Oh,
well, he
yeah.
was a writer.
I thought he was not about Peter David. Sorry.
He was one of the hot artists that the Image Founders coaxed away from Marvel. and he did the first issue of Pit, and he said he made so much money off the royalties, he pretty much took a year off, made a record with his friends, moved to Toronto and stuff. He made a lot of money off that. That was pretty cool. I mean, good for him. Not the way to keep your own creator own series going, though, I guess. As you can tell, there aren't monthly publications of Pit anymore, but...
Except for a crossover with Top Cow with Darkness, but outside of that, it's about it.
Yeah, he does a lot of variants, too, for Marvel lately, especially Hulk stuff, I've noticed. I wanted to get... there's a Hulk variant for the new run by Jason Aaron and Mark Silvestri that Dale did an alternate of. But it's 1 in 50, and I can't get one because somebody else asked for it first. It's like, damn.
eBay.
Yeah, eBay. Here, $100. Would you like it? Not that much.
I'm trying to be good and not buy many variants because they did some... It's like, I don't mind paying a bit more, but again, it's like if you're buying the normal cover as well, and then you buy the variants, it's like, yeah, it adds up in the end.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I was just going for the one, but whatever.
It happens. Yeah, variants are brutal, though, because those things always run up your bill faster than you can blink.
Yeah. Same with trades. Trades will do the same to you. But yeah, that's probably my first ever favorite team, I'd say. I guess before that it was Peter and Todd Mack, but looking back on those issues now, I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, the story was good. Other than that. Not to diss Todd McFarlane. I'm sure he can still draw real nice.
Whenever he draws.
Yeah, that's the thing. Maybe that's my problem with him. He doesn't draw anymore.
Too busy making action figures.
Yeah, sure. I guess he's making money off of it. Bankruptcy. I'm surprised he kept Capullo around as long as he did. And I just on an off note, I'm glad to see him on something other than Spawn or Haunt.
Yes.
Even if it is Batman.
Even if it is Batman. I did read that book, you guys, and it looks awesome. Like, I thought he had some hand problems, too, before when he was drawing Spawn or something.
And, yeah.
He had to change his style, I guess, but you would never know it now. Looking at that Batman art. Anyways.
Yeah, so, Wesley, I guess it's your turn now.
I got one another file. Like we already had a Mark Waid mention on here, but I got another Mark Waid team, Mark Waid and Barry Kitson. And
Legion,
but I'm going a little bit more something in a different direction than Legion. There's a book they did together called Empire that I love to death.
Really?
It's basically the concept of what if a supervillain got to take over the world and actually got it. But now you got the world. But guess what? You got to keep everyone fed. You got to keep the electricity on. You got to keep everything going, or else you'll have a revolt on your hands. So now it's, okay, I've got the world. Well, crap. I got to monitor this world, don't I? So he has to keep constantly watching his back because everyone else who helped him take over the world, now he has to always constantly watch his back so that no one's going to try to kill him while he's still trying to keep the world going.
That slightly sounds like Irredeemable.
A little bit, yes. Like, it's kind of like Empire was his first concept into like really playing with but instead of like basically this villain, the villain's mostly outside of his like giant armored suit, he's really just a normal guy. So he never leaves the giant armored suit because at all times someone's trying to either try to get him, kill, and it's pretty interesting stuff, and his exploration of just how this guy has to figure how to keep himself going and how to keep everything moving. It's pretty fascinating stuff, and it caught my eye because initially they released Empire under the Guerrilla Comics line, and then after the Guerrilla Comics line, they had to bring over the miniseries to DC because they only released two issues under the Guerrilla Comics, and then that imprint went bust, and it went into DC. And DC became the publisher of the last 6-issue miniseries of Empire. And I own the trade paperback, and the trade paperback is hilariously out of print. And so you can find it, but you might be paying a bit.
So it's worth something.
It's an interesting trade paperback too, and I still own the issue somewhere too, but it's definitely well worth finding if you can, because it's such a good story and it takes many twists and turns you don't quite expect. And like I say, I like his Legion. I like the Legion he does of Kith, and I like JLA Year One. But Empire is the story that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the one that I go, I wish they go back to that, but from what I've heard, they can't go back to it because pretty much they're both either under exclusive contracts or they just don't have the time to really work on it anymore. But yeah, it's a good story and definitely well worth hunting out.
They kind of work for Marvel more days, I think, because I seen from Kitson was a Hulk arc with Greg Pak.
And yeah, he did Mark's some writing Daredevil. Iron Man 2.0 stuff as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he did. And
briefly, yeah.
Yeah, I like his art.
And then Olivetti kind of took over that one, I do believe. So.
Yeah, then I dropped it.
Yeah, can't blame you. But Kitson, it's like one of the, and I think the reason why they can't do Empire anymore is because of the fact, I think when they did it for DC, it's like some funky thing involving, like, they can't really get to work on it because they're working on other things, and it's just something involving that DC published it initially that's kind of kept it, after they rescued it from their limbo, it's kind of kept it in like a nebulous rights sort of situation. So it's
maybe that's why we see more Marvel work these days.
Probably, because I think from what I've learned, Mark Waid kind of burned some bridges at DC in his last reign there. So
I tend not to disagree with much that he says, though.
No, Mark Waid makes some great points. That's when I kind of give him the benefit of he made some good points. So
I always felt that Mark Waid was fanboy first. Just seemed that way to me because you guys ever watch the get the DVDs for the Legion of Superheroes, the old cartoon?
No,
I've never seen the DVDs.
Mark
Waid
and Jeff Johns do commentary on them.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. He talks about buying his collection of superpower action figures, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me that he cares about the characters more than you do as the reader.
Well, he has a good hold on the history and knowledge of superheroes and stuff, doesn't he? Yeah, which makes him
especially
a really good writer.
Yeah, because he's also dubbed a historian, right?
Comics historian.
Yeah, Mark Waid, everybody, read his stuff.
He's someone I look out for now. Yeah. If I see his name on a book, I'll probably pick it up.
I think the first thing I ever read by him was Kingdom Come.
Yes. Oh, I love Kingdom
God.
Come. Oh yeah.
How awesome was that?
Oh. That's actually one of the first trade paperbacks I bought as well. Mm-hmm. It was just,
That was back in the Alex Ross, kind of, look at me, I'm awesome, you guys.
Yeah.
Look at all the work I put into my stuff, but whatever.
Now he just does covers for Dynamite all the time, and it's okay.
Well, he does a little bit of the interiors for Kirby Genesis. There's a panel that Alex Ross drew of the character. I'm like, that's kind of lame, but takes you out of the story a bit. That's a good book, too. Kurt Busiek and, I guess, Alex Ross a little bit.
Kurt Busiek, Alex Ross, and a guy named, I can't think of the artist name off the top of my head, Jack Jackson or something like that. He's, the main artist on it that I know. I think that's his name, Jack something.
If I had the book close, I'd tell you.
Yeah, me too. I don't have it close to me as well, so it's crap.
Mine's in my garage by my smoking chair.
Nice.
I like to read while I'm killing myself.
We could actually spend ages probably talking about Mark Waid, but
this is our Mark Waid episode.
If we had a DC Power Hour, we could have a Mark Waid episode.
No, that was the Anvil. This is Nerds in the Room.
Yeah, I know, but see the Anvil. Don't listen.
My next pick is kind of like a threesome-ish. I'm gonna go for Matt Fraction, Gabriel Ba, and Fabio Moon. If I've I might have mispronounced their name, so I'm very sorry. And they've done, it's the Casanova work, which is mainly what I want to talk about, because a new issue just came out the other week, and I haven't been on the Anvil for a while, so I haven't been able to talk about how awesome it was, and I was holding it, and it was that good. And I was smiling while I was reading it, and it's just yes, this is so awesome.
Really?
What a comic should be Casanova, if you can find it.
Concept of Casanova again?
It's just some crazy super spy stuff, Casanova Quinn just going ground and shooting stuff and being awesome. It's actually, because it's quite hard to, No, not really like the Punisher. It's kind of like hard for me to explain in like a sentence, because Earl asked me the other day and I found it and I was like, do you know what? I'm not actually that sure how I would like try to sell it to someone other than saying it's really awesome and you should try it out. Huh. Because the art by the twins, Fabio Moon and Gabriel Barr, is just beautiful. And the coloured one, I bought all the coloured reprints Marvel, well, Icon put out last year, of the first two arcs, and they just look really good, really pretty with the colors, and like unlike a lot of comics you see on the shelves today. And it's just, if you think like Matt Fraction's like got pacing issues in some of his Marvel stuff, he's in Casanova, he really packs stuff into the issue. And the reason why I like reading it monthly and not in trade like I do with most other creator owned stuff is they're quite dense reads at times, and I think if I tried reading it in trade, it'd be a lot to take in. But if you read it in singles, you feel like you're getting a good enough read out of that. And plus,
your money's worth.
Your money's worth. This is something I forgot to mention with Criminal. Actually, there's lots of back matter in the back, and the back matter in Casanova, especially the one that just came out, is actually quite personal, because it's Matt Fraction like talking to the fans quite directly. Like they're saying that they've sent him letters. And Matt Fraction's reply to him in the comic, and it's not just like the usual bullshit. Oh, well, how come Iron Man did this in issue 504 and all that stuff? It's like, you know, just personal, just pretty much just chatting about stuff. Not some of it's not even comics related, and
I always love when a creator does stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just chill out stuff and casting over. And to talk about the twins a bit more, I've also read one of the books they did for Vertigo, Day Tripper, which is also amazing, but it's also really hard for me to put in a sentence to try and sell someone, because it's kind of just about this guy and I think it's more like a love story, but I think it's set in like Spain or something. And do you know what, I'm gonna read the back of it actually. I'll just read the back of it.
Smart move.
So, I've got the trade here. And go, do. Yeah, I can't even pronounce some of these words.
I thought you guys had a good education system over there.
What in? We do, just not the school I went to.
Oh, okay.
Right, here we go. Each day in Bra's life is like a page from a book. Each one reveals a page and things who have made him who he is, his mother and father, his child and his best friend, his first love and his love of his life. And like all great stories, each day has a twist he'll never see coming. And what that means is, this isn't really spoiling it, but each issue ends with him actually dying at the end of the comic, and then the next part of it just kind of like starts as if that never happened. So it's kind of just following this guy throughout his life, but it's really well done, and it really suits the comics medium with the artwork and the way they tell the story.
It sounds bizarre.
It is kind of bizarre. It's kind of like Casanova. It's like a bit weird, but a bit bizarre. It's not like your mainstream stuff, but that's why I like it, because it's different. It's kind of like some Morrison might have his name on, like in the 90s or something like that. But I probably just done a really bad job at trying to sell that to someone who's never heard of it before, but never mind. Casanova is awesome. And now Eric, it's your go.
My go. As he looks around at his posters, who else is awesome? Oh, crap. Okay, Bendis and Bagley, man, I'll say it.
Go for it.
Ultimate Spider-Man.
I was gonna do that then, but
longest running comics ever together. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say.
The only sad thing is that it ended.
Yeah, but no, hey, we got Brilliant next week, don't we?
Apparently, yeah. So
that's right. We do.
Yeah. So I'm kind of stoked for that. What else can I say about it? Like, I mean, I got my wife into comics with Ultimate Spider-Man. Enough said. I mean,
it's one of my favorite books. I actually don't read it anymore, but the Bagley and Bendis stuff. I have it in.
Yeah, it's awesome. I think we talked about this the other day. The only bad part was the X-Men Spider-Man crossover where they swap bodies, Jimmy and
because that was just weird.
Yeah, but it was, you know, at the same time it was funny because he writes a disclaimer at the beginning of it, right?
Yeah, I think
like, this wasn't my idea.
I think he pretty much blames Joe Quesada for it.
Yeah, but they're paying me, so I'm gonna write it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else could be said? I don't know. I mean, obviously, I think this is a stepping stone in Bendis' career into taking over the Avengers franchise. I don't know, man. A lot of people seem to complain about his style, but obviously it works because he's kind of famous. Do you know what I mean?
He's always usually has one or two titles in the top 10 sales. And I know people go, oh, sales are down, but still, he's like, Avengers is usually always in there every month. And if people didn't like it, it would drop, wouldn't it? And drop into the 20s or something. And I know you got all the fanboys is like, oh, I'm just going to buy Avengers. I don't care who's writing it. I don't care if I hate it. I'm just going to buy it anyway because it's the Avengers and I want every issue. And, you know, and if people are buying it and they're not enjoying it, then more fool them.
You vote
with your wallet, don't you? But,
yeah. And there are people, because I know people like that myself, who just keep buying the books just to keep buying them. And like Anthony, you just said, like, if you don't like it, don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've gotten to discussion with people before, like, well, I got to have all the issues. If you don't like it, just don't buy it.
These are always the people who complain about everything Bendis does. Like, if he does, like, people are probably going to be complaining when he puts Hawkeye and Spider-Woman into a proper relationship, which he's pretty much, he's hinted at strongly towards already, but he's...
It was just that cover, and I thought we were going to see some make it out, and I didn't see nothing. I was like, what was that?
I bet it's coming, eventually.
Oh, yeah.
It's Bendis, he's slow burning, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know, I prefer his new Avengers to his Avengers.
So do I, actually. Personal,
I guess. Because I've been following it the longest. That's for sure. Even my wife digs it, which is strange for me. She'll read anything. If Bendis wrote it, she'll read it. If Bagley drew it, she's all over it. That's why she wanted to read it. I'm like, well, I got these old Spider-Man comics that Bagley drew. You know, I was talking about the Clone War stuff, or Clone Saga. And that she was like, yeah, let's find them. I'm like, oh, great. Now I have to sort through 300 consecutive issues of Amazing Spider-Man to find them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, pretty savage.
What is he doing now besides Brilliant? Is he just doing The Fearless? And
well, he just come back to Marvel, right? After doing...
Yeah. I've seen him do some covers.
Fearless and Brilliant that he's mostly going to be doing for right now. Because I know it's like mostly those are his two main titles for the most part at this point. So
I'm stoked for Brilliant, man.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
Brilliant could be interesting. And also, like I said, I'm not a big Bendis fan myself, but... thing of it is, I am always willing to give him a fair shot. Like, if it's some, if the concept interests me, I'll go, yeah, I'll take it out. I'll check out the first issue, see what I think. And if I don't like it, then okay, I don't like it. And then I just won't buy another issue. But if I like it, then I'll be the first one to say, yeah, I like this. This was pretty awesome. Well done. So it's...
Sorry, Russ. No problem.
Let's go on.
No, I was just going to ask Eric if he read the new Avengers annual that was out a few weeks ago.
The new Avengers one. Yeah, the one that's to be continued in the Avengers, right?
Yeah, which is that did kind of piss me off a little bit.
I can barely remember it, though. I think didn't the mansion get trashed again?
Yeah, again.
Yeah. I read that
house.
Yeah.
I was like, I had a bit of a nerd moment with that because I was wondering where to put it in my long box, right? And I come to the conclusion that it must just be happening before Fear itself, so I put it before The Fear itself, new Avenger comics, but you know, I spent a little bit too much time saying, where should I put this in
here? Like, oh, God, that's what it was.
Yeah,
now I remember. I didn't mind.
It was the same artist, The Secret War, wasn't it? But his artwork looked really different in the annual. I'm not sure if it's because of how
it wasn't painted
colored
so darkly, I think.
He played with his style a little bit and kind of tweaked with it.
Yeah, that's cool, though. I mean, I had no problems with that. It did kind of upset me that it was to be continued, though. I was like, damn, what am I reading here? It's an annual. I thought annuals were supposed to be done in ones.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And we don't know when the Avengers annual is coming out either, which is a bit of a downer. I've heard him mention it, but it could be like next year when it's out. So
what? No.
Please not next year. That would kind of suck.
It's not solicited up to now. Well, the earliest it's going to be out now is November. So,
I see what you're saying. You're thinking not maybe January.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. I think it's Wesley's pick now. Maybe.
And yeah, I've been actually thinking as you guys have been talking about what my next pick would be, and it's going to be interesting. It's going to be one that could be pretty interesting for people. It's the Gail Simone Nicola Scott team.
Who's Nicola Scott?
Nicola Scott. She worked on recently the Teen Titans run with J.T. Kroll, but she was also doing issues of Birth of. She's done some issues of Birds of Prey at one point, but also And then they also did that really cool run with they did a decent run with Wonder Woman, but their really cool run was Secret Six they did together.
Hmm.
And that was really cool. I love they merely were like I always thought Nicola Scott and Gail Simone. Like I've always liked Gail Simone. She was always one of those writers that I've always liked. And then pretty much that Secret Six, they just gelled together so well with Nicola Scott's they mesh together so well as a team. Like anything Gail could come up with, Nicola Scott could match up with and make it work perfectly. For all the dark, twisted crap that was going on in Secret Six, Nicola Scott could just match it perfectly. And it just was like perfection in a comic book almost. Like, that Secret Six, it was kind of weird for me, Secret Six, after Nicola Scott left for Teen Titans, because it's like California worked with Gail Simone, but. Not near as well as Nicola Scott did with Gail Simone for me. So, I don't know, like, that was just a really cool team. And that was just a really nice one to kind of go, yeah, that was a really cool team. And Secret Six did lose something once they split those two up. So it was kind of like, it's like Secret Six was still a good book, but they kind of lost a little something once Nicola Scott left. And they kind of had and then they rotated around the artist team a little bit. So, yeah, so... Just goes to show you kids, sometimes when you move an artist off a title, it can either be a good thing or it can kind of kill a little momentum for a title in some weird fashion.
Maybe that's why I didn't dig the book that much. I think I got into Secret Six too late, really.
I haven't actually read it, but I agree with what Wesley said about the artist thing, about it damaging a book.
Yeah, that can happen, right?
I would say tell people, Secret Six, about the first 12 issues are mostly are in Nicola, I do believe, and those are really well worth checking out. And then from there, it's still worth reading. There's some still cool stuff that California does, but it's still sort of like, but it loses a little something after Nicola leaves for Teen Titans. And honestly, I never really liked J.T. Kroll's Teen Titans anyway, so I was like, dang it, I love the artist, but I just do not dig the writing. So, it's just one of those, just like, And it is weird with comic books. I mean, but of course, luckily with Bendis, after Bagley left Ultimate Spider-Man, he had Stuart Immonen in the follow-up. So oddball thing of when we go back to Bendis a second for you guys, and he has lucked out on artist teams. That's all I'm saying. And that's why sometimes, I see writers that have always had the what you call the luck factor of artist teams. And I was actually trying to think of something like Warren Ellis, and I actually had an idea of saying Warren Ellis initially, because Warren Ellis and Stuart Immonen did Next Wave that I loved.
Still need to read that. I really want to read that.
Next Wave rules. Oh my God, I love that series.
I always thought when that first was advertised, it was a reboot of the New Universe from the early 90s. Maybe it's the late 80s. I don't know if you guys know Justice and what else was there? PSI. There's a bunch of different stuff in there.
Star Brand
was the one I liked. Yeah.
DP 7.
But that this Warren Ellis thing, that's not a redo at all.
Next Wave is the insanity fuel of the Marvel Universe, and it is amazing. That is where you get the line, Machine Man's legendary line of "I am filled with many useful devices." And of course the insane brilliance of Stuart Immonen's double page spreads of the Almighty that pop up. And that's where he starts developing a lot of the style that he uses for like he uses for New Avengers and also Fear Itself. A lot of that early forms of his sort of his style he's loosely using. He's using a lot of that initially in Next Wave, and that's where it kind of develops from there. And it's kind of cool to see. And that, I know I actually did two creative teams, but don't mind me. I was trying to.
That's all right.
I wanted something with Ellis too, but like I said, I'm kind of, like I said, Next Wave was something that popped in my head when I was thinking of the Secret Six, and they just dive bombed me straight in the next one.
Yeah, no, it's cool. We're rolling with it. We like it. Yeah.
Like I said, have you guys read Next Wave, by the way? I know Anthony has it. Eric, have you gotten a chance to read?
No, I haven't. I'm interested, though.
There is an
It's on my Amazon wish list. It's been on
there for a while. There's a collection that did come out for Next Wave that is the entire series and the letter columns, and it's pretty much the entire thing in one giant chunk. And cool. Yeah, it's really well worth buying. I love it to death.
Might have to check that out.
Mm.
You cost me too much money, you know that? Debbie told me, my wife, she's like, you got to stop talking to Wesley. He keeps telling me about stuff that's really cool.
I come up in household conversations.
There you go.
It's actually true. I actually have friends that say, Wes, please don't recommend me anything else.
Yeah, no doubt. I can't afford it, dude.
I'm brutal. I am brutal on a wallet. I do this to a lot of people, and I have people glare at me like, man. And they're like, dang it, Wes, you cost me too much money. Sorry. It's like, it's okay. It's worth all the money I'm spending. Like, there you go.
The Ultimate Collection's quite thick. It's 300 pages, isn't it? 12
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, it's like 30 bucks for $30-$35 for like 300 plus pages of comics, and it's usually I actually find those pretty cool. Sometimes, like that's how I own Cable Deadpool. I own the entire run of that through all the Ultimate Collections they did of it. So,
is that the Gail Simone stuff? No, wait.
The Fabian Nicenzia, actually.
Okay. I was thinking
Gail Simone. They still won't Marvel for some odd reason. They don't like money, so they won't re-release the Gail Simone stuff. So.
Oh, really? My comic book shop guy. Check this out. When they were doing the cancer fundraiser thing.
Yeah.
For breast cancer, he took his own Deadpool comics that Gail Simone wrote, and he put them up as a prize for people to donate.
Whoa.
Yeah, man. And he also had the oversized Absolute Planetary hardcover.
Oh, wow.
And that's all. I put all my tickets to there, and I won. And I didn't even realize it was his personal copy until he told me a couple weeks later. It was like, wow, cool.
Wow, that is nice.
Yeah. Crazy, huh? Okay.
So. Just while you mentioned Gail Simone, what did you two think of Batgirl number one? Because I haven't read it, but I've seen pretty mixed things about it on the internet.
Wow. Like
some people have said they hated it, or they didn't like it. Hate's a strong word. Some people said they didn't like it, and some people said like they really enjoyed it. So I'm curious to know what you two thought of it.
I never read it, dude.
Oh, okay.
It's Superhero.
Batman. Sorry, yeah. It's got the word Bat in it. So.
Well, I read it, and it took me about two reads to kind of really get into Batgirl, because the first time I read it, I didn't like it. Second time I read it, it turned out a little bit. It turned out a little bit better for me the second time around, because I kind of appreciated some stuff, but I was just really attached to Oracle, and I think I was really attached to that characterization, but once I kind of got past a little of that, I could kind of go, okay, I can appreciate this as more of its own beast. But
I don't think...
Once the hurting stops.
I don't think that is she writing it? Gail Simone?
Yeah, Gail's writing it.
Yeah. I don't think she's gotten to the point where she explains this Oracle stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've heard. I don't know. Because I think that was most people's biggest complaint was they didn't explain the Killing Joke, which is about the Joker. Right?
They reference it, though, don't they?
Reference it. They
do they?
And actually, in Birds of Prey, so. they do show Barbara Gordon in the issue of Birds of Prey that just got released this week. So there's something she did with them at one point, but they haven't fully clicked it all together yet. So we'll kind of see how they play this out in the long haul.
Yeah.
I guess is it my turn again? Yeah,
I
guess
so. Go for it.
Oh, good, because I haven't got an idea right now.
Oh, okay. So if I pick another one, do you think you got another pick or?
I think I could come up with something else.
Okay.
What time are we at here? 47 minutes?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, if you pick a good one, we can finish with that.
Oh, God. See, I'm tempted.
Pressure's
on. I'm tempted to pick Bree Baker and Matt Fraction on Iron Fist, but I've already mentioned them both, but, you know, okay, I'm going to do it. Yeah, Bree Baker and Matt Fraction.
Do it. I love that series.
On the Immortal Iron Fist. And I've heard so many people say that they love this book, and it is an awesome book. It's collected in an omnibus as well.
God.
And free premiere, and in trades, obviously, in free volumes. And they basically make Iron Fist awesome again, because he was kind of like, pretty much like a 70s character who no one did anything with, and then they came up with this take on him, which brought him into the modern Marvel universe, and it's just so good. Pretty much similar to what Bendis did, with Luke Cage, actually. And Luke Cage is in some of it as well, so you get like that kind of Heroes for Hire feel. But it is very much an Iron Fist-centric story. The first one, the first arc is called The Last Iron Fist Story, and it's about him like rediscovering his roots, pretty much, and like the legacy of the Iron Fist. And then the second arc is pretty much like a martial arts tournament, kind of similar to Enter the Dragon. And it's just so awesome. Lots of kung fu and the immortal weapons who are like still popping up in the comics like now. People are still using the immortal weapons because they're really good characters. And the first art was drawn by David Aja. And he should draw more comics because he's got a really good style with what he does. He didn't do the whole of the second arc, I don't think. They rotated around a bit more. I can't remember every artist who worked on it. But just the first art with Brubaker Fraction and David Aja was really good. I think how that pretty much worked, actually, was Brubaker came up with most of the plot, and then Matt Fraction went and wrote it, because it was like the first big book Matt Fraction did for Marvel when he first signed for the company. So it was kind of like easing Matt Fraction into the Marvel universe. And
I tried to get into that after I heard about how good it was, and I think I picked up a one-shot of... which it was the Iron Fist before Randy, I think.
Was it did it have Howard Chaykin in it?
No, it's the guy with the trench coat. Why can't I think of his name? Orson. I keep thinking Orson. It was very good. I was impressed. I was like, wow. One day I'm going to have to go back and get all those, because it's such a cool concept, like you said.
Well, it isn't an omnibus. I think the omnibus is still in print as well, unlike some of them. On the buses, Daredevil, but
you got something to gripe about with Daredevil?
No, it's just. Do you know? Well, I'm sure. I don't know if it's like this in America, but do you know the Daredevil omnibuses? They're really rare, aren't they? So, and the only way you get it is if you spend like I don't know about £200 for one on eBay, because you can't just.
Are you using Harry Potter money? What? Is that what you call your money? Quid? And we getting shit for calling them loonies.
Yeah, quid, pounds. Okay. It's quid is, to be fair, quid is slang in Britain.
Oh,
I don't know. It's like the
so
Queen
quid
would
and pound are the same thing.
Yeah, quid and a pound.
Yeah. Fuck! I just learned something.
Teaching you about my culture.
No, that's cool, man. You are the right?
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Fraction, Ed Brubaker. They are the guys. They're my two favorite writers. So that's why I keep them. Going on about him all the time whenever I'm on a podcast.
I love, because when you mentioned Iron Fist, I just smiled the instant you said it, because I own all three hardcovers they did of that. Ooh, and I literally, well. And those are just so, those things are literally, I'm like, dang, and nothing could match it. And after the person who followed them up, Dwayne Swirsky followed them up, and he could not even touch what they did for that book. So yeah.
Interesting.
So have you two got anything you want to add before we wrap up, or anything you want to plug or anything?
Well, I was thinking about how cool hardcovers were just now. I don't have very many. I know the first one I ever got was Frank Miller's Complete Batman, and it had Year One and The Dark Knight Returns all in one hardcover. And it had a ribbon. I remember that. I missed that book. It got stolen. Really stolen. I lent it to somebody who lent it to somebody who fucking gave it away. So that's a sad story. I don't know. Especially with these new hardcovers, I would like to get some more because of the extras you get in them.
I think Bendis has a good idea with hardcovers, actually. He's re-releasing all of his old indie stuff in the same hardcover format. Like, it's not quite Scott Pilgrim size, and it's not full comic book size. It's somewhere in the middle.
Like Takio size?
Yeah, like Takio size, yeah. Oh, and he's done Fortune and Glory and Jinx, which are actually both sat on my shelf together, and they look really nice on my shelf. But and he only released Scarlet in hardcover as well, because I think he's only releasing his creator-owned stuff in hardcover now.
Because, I know he said that about Takio.
Yeah. Sure. He said it on Twitter the other day as well, because I don't think he sees the point in trade paperback or something. I don't know, just a view of his, but I do like hardcovers. I've actually got all five hardcovers to Hickman's FF as well.
Really?
Because I buy that in trade. Yeah, and
I got the Dark Reign.
I have his Dark Reign as well, but that's on trade paperback, where I have the rest of it in the Premier hardcovers, and they look awesome because they're all designed the same as well. So,
sorry, go ahead. What?
My theory on like hardcovers, a lot of it is I own a few Absolutes, and the Absolutes I own are I own the Absolute All-Star Superman, the Absolute New Frontier, the Absolute. When you mentioned Kingdom Come, I said I own the Absolute Kingdom Come, and I own, nice. Like I said, like I own a few hardcovers, but those are like my big, my bad. Like the Absolute Kingdom Come, that was the one I literally just like poured over. When I got that the first time, I actually sat down and reread it for like the fourth or fifth time. I've lost count how many times I reread Kingdom Come. So have I actually.
That's a good story, man.
Awesome. I own Absolute New Frontier. That's another good one.
There's one I'd like to read. Darwin Cook. Right?
I want to read that as well.
Yeah.
That is a good story.
I like the cartoon. I really like the cartoon.
If you like the cartoon, you're gonna love. You'll love the actual full New Frontier story because it's so cool. Because the cartoon does edit out bits and pieces of.
Well, yeah, they can't fit it all in, obviously.
Well, yeah, but you know, but they do. They do have bits and pieces they leave out for space for like time, but still the story adds a lot more to you make you even create the movie even more than what you did. So.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm afraid that's all we got time for this week, folks.
Did you just cut us off, man?
I waited till he stopped talking, didn't I? Are you done, Wesley?
At least
I'm done. I'm good.
You're a lot more polite than I am.
Yeah.
Try to be polite.
Skedaddle soon, anyway. So, yeah. Anyway, thank you guys for joining me. I hope everyone who got to the end of the podcast enjoyed listening to it. This has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 63. We haven't got a title yet, so you'll have to download the podcast to see what the title is. So yeah, go get the podcast.
I'm going.